I'm not sure whether it is the passing of the years that makes one look back and see a long, long space between your teenage years and the age that one is at now. I have to confess that occasionally I can remember what I did when I was a teenager. And one of the things I remember is having a girlfriend. Surprise, surprise. And in those far off days, many of you will know that courting was a trip to the cinema to see whichever picture was on, and then to walk your girlfriend or your boyfriend back home with the hope that you might find a nice little quiet corner which was fairly private in order to have a nice warm kiss, just to show each other how much we loved one another. Take time. That was an interesting time. But that young lady that I was taking out to the pictures for a few months, and indeed over a year, she and I never found a place that was totally covered. And often we were in the dark, home from the cinema, looking up to the sky, seeing all the stars that were there. And I was thinking about that this week when I came across a little note which said Franklin D. Roosevelt, the former president of America, president during the war years, he met with his advisors well into the early hours of the next day. And at last, they came to the end of their discussions. And Roosevelt said to the men who were there, "Let's go into the White House Rose Garden and turn our heads up to look at the sky and see the brilliance of the stars." And so they trooped out into the garden, and they stood there for a few minutes looking up into the brightness of the night sky. And the sky shone with the light from hundreds and hundreds of stars. The president then said to them, "Right now, I think we feel small enough to go in and go to sleep." There was a sense of wonder. Wonder that is part of what it means to be a human being. But for so many in our sophisticated world today, that sense of wonder and our place on earth has been lost. You and I, we live in a world which has so many wonderful machines and systems now that we have become unfeeling and under-impressed by some of the most basic miracles of life. Take time to think, enjoy a moment or two of peace and quietness. Christopher Fry, the poet playwright, once wrote an entire essay on the miracle of our hands. And I wondered when I was reading that again this week whether you studied your hands. You will know that I have had problems with these. And so I think about them quite often. And the thought that comes again and again is not in any sense spiritual, I think. It's more practical. I can never play golf now. I haven't been able to for something like 30 years or 40 years. However, the hands still work. I can still write badly, but that's no different from earlier years. Hands which can hold a glass, which usually has something very pleasant in it to drink. I can use my hands to be of help on an odd occasion. Take time to think about the hands. He wrote an article, an essay of the miracle of our hands. And I don't know how many of you have ever studied your hands. Bones, flesh, tendons, skins, all there ready. And I know the ladies know about hands, in particular about their fingernails. The multitude of colours can be amazing, and clearly it pleases them very much indeed. The list of things that we should enjoy about our hands is endless, and all that they do we take for granted, not thinking for a second about the wonder which is there at the end of our arm. And if we go from hand to arm, if we go from arm to our whole body, it is miraculous. It is a miraculous wonder to behold. And you don't need to lift your eyes to the sky. You just hold them in front of you and recognize how much they are of value to you and to those who share our world. We don't live in awe of our bodies, our minds, and of our creation, but we should. We should not take them for granted. And one of the most wonderful things about Christmas is that it is an annual reminder of the importance of seeing the miraculous, standing in awe and wonder at what God has done for us. This whole business of a child born in a stable, a child born for the world. Shepherds, hearing, seeing, angels on a hillside, wise men traveling vast distances behind a star. And what are these but an invitation, all of them, to wonder at the majesty and yet the humility and the love of God our Father. Christmas should say to us, wait a minute, tack time. Maybe you're rushing about too much. Maybe you're devoting too much of your time and your energy and your resources and talents to the wrong things. Suppose you slow down and consider more deeply what we actually celebrate at this time. Suppose you listened with fresh hearing to achieve a more accurate sense of what took place. Would it not help you to understand better what you should be doing with your life? Make your life more sensitive to the world in which we live. One of the things that should amaze us is that we cannot cease from fighting wars over things which are important, but not as important to create 25,000 deaths in a war. Virginia Owens is the authoress of a beautiful little book with the lovely title, And the Trees Clapped Hands. in her book, she writes that we are put into the world as children to become spies. Now, there's a thought. How good are you as a spy? Or maybe I should put it another way. How good are you all at nosiness? Some of us are not bad at it. I put my hand up. She writes that we are put into the world as children to become spies, to discern the meaning of life. And we, as we grow up, are expected to investigate the properties of matter, to explore the realms of intelligence, and gradually over time, something has gone wrong. Somewhere along the way, everything becomes merely. If we think of that word merely, think what it actually means. Merely is not enough. It is not plenty. So many elements of life clearly associated with the Lord of creation are now merely elements with no spiritual association or value. But Christmas points beyond the merely. Christmas is a yes, but situation. Think of Christmas. It was merely a stable. It was merely a noise that the shepherds heard. But, and so the yes, but points to all the deeper things, points to the things that we are to say or speak of or to think about. The but points to the mystery that drew near it to our world that first Christmas morning. If we put things another way, we begin to understand that it is the merely quality of things which leads to crime. It's merely a thing. I will take it. They won't mind, or if they do mind, it doesn't matter. It is merely the quality which so often stops us improving the world. Are merely a few people who live in ignorance and in poverty and going to be victims of war? Are they merely unimportant in our living and our dying? People who live in ignorance and poverty, doesn't matter. What better example could you have than the situation in Gaza at the moment? Think of further afield and all the hoo-ha at the moment of a piece of legislation being presented that might allow people, persons, to be transferred by air to another foreign country. But once we get beyond the merely, everything may be seen in the light of God. Graham Greene dreamt of a way of escape, that he was present at the first Christmas, right there in the stable, in amongst the animals, there with Mary and Joseph. But when he looked in the crib, he could not see the Christ child. And for him, the whole meaning of Christmas he felt had been lost, hopelessly, completely undone, was the concept that he had had of Christmas. So should we, so should we be, to see the wonder and the person who is Christ come among us. And when we don't see him, when we don't believe in him and all that he has done, then we are in real trouble. We need to take time again to go back to the beginning. And isn't it interesting this morning that the reading from the Old Testament was speaking about the situation of the nation of Israel as it has and been in the course of the centuries, part of the world's history for different nations and different peoples. And now it is in our time too. Green was astonished that he was unable to see the wonder of God's gift to us and the person who is Christ. It seems to me, as year has followed year, that Christmas has become merely a parody of what Christmas was and is meant to be. But let us recover our sense of wonder. Let us visualize and understand the miracle of love. Let us reclaim peace on earth for Jesus' sake. And let us take time to respect the peace that God would give us if we lived by the way that Jesus showed men and women to live. Let us enjoy our Christmas with family, with friends, with our Bibles, with our sense of a God who loves us and who has given us a gift that we should wonder at, be full of awe of, and to go forward. And in your case, as a congregation, to go forward, to continue to be as you have been for centuries now, a part of a community, and bring to that community your knowledge of the wonder of God's gift, and your understanding of how, if we live in Jesus' way, the world will be at peace and all shall enjoy what God has given us through his creation and through our own selves. Take time for Jesus' sake, and may God bless to us the preaching of his word.